Blog Talk Radio.
Comforts and helps us and points the way for the whole world, Lord. that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's get into some music, okay? For the praise and worship part of the service. Here we go.
I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them It may look like I'm surrounded, but Satisfied, a peace for the hearts are buried deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I needed. You lifted my soul and opened up my eyes.
message. Amen. Okay. For people that are just joining in, it's working out for forgiveness, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 to 15, and many other verses. Well, let's start out with a prayer for the service. Lord God, give us your spirit. We pray that we may learn to understand what we are and what task you have set for us, Lord. We thank you for all the light you give us, Lord. We grant that we and many others may come closer to the knowledge of truth and be at peace about all the belongings in your hands, Lord. Our Father in heaven, Lord, keep us now and forevermore in your almighty hand, Lord. May we know your goodness and the blessing it brings, Lord. For through your goodness we can endure even the hardest days and the victorious in battle of life, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's look at this. Okay, the corrective value of forgiveness is a must in each of our lives as a Christian. Jesus taught about the essential value in scripture reading. It is necessary for you, physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental life and health. So forgiveness is essential in being healthy. Why? A nagging guilt from conscious disobeying God's word. Anger, hurt, resentment, and bitterness festers and grows in the spirit of unforgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, see it to that no one misuses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So refuse to trust in others' close relationship, and it causes loneliness and separation. Until a person forgives those who have wronged him, he is preoccupied or bound to those people whom he hasn't forgiven. In that great chapter of Matthew 18 that deals with relationships, Jesus applied this principle. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, verify, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them and my Father which is in heaven. So look at what happens. He repeatedly relives the pain. He cannot get on with his life. Okay, continued resentment of anger spoil more and more of the unforgiving person's life in the present and in the future. So until you deal with your feelings against your brother or sister, you have not dealt with the greatest of your sins, defiling the Lord's body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 31, therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So forgiveness is a must. You must work it out. Forgiveness is an act of the will. You must make the decision to forgive. Okay? There must be a willingness to forgive. This forces us to deal with the primary source of our problem, our will, our obedience. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. So you must make a decision to forgive. It is an act of the will. Forgiveness requires time. You must refuse to harbor hard feelings. You said you forgive them. That requires you release bad feelings. This is a choice. Realize that there was a misunderstanding in your interpretation of the facts or events. It's not the only interpretation. There are always two sides to every issue. You must come to a decision that if you ever understand what is going on or not, whether that makes no difference. You have the power to release the person from your judgment and have chosen to do so. You will not be their judge and jury. You will not take revenge on them. Your relationship with God and potentially with them is more important than who is the right or wrong. The response to your action is forgiveness. It's not necessary for you to forgive them. If you have chose to forgive them, you are released. Sometimes the act of forgiveness requires restitution for your completion. The law of restitution. Let's look at Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it and sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught breaking in and struck so he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed. A thief must certainly make restitution, but if he has nothing, he must be sold to pay for his theft. If the stolen animal is found alive in his possession, whether ox or donkey or sheep, he must pay back double. If a man grazes his livestock in a field or a vineyard and lets them stray and they graze in another man's field, he must make restitution for the best of his own field or vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads into thorn bushes, so that it burns stalks of grain or standing grain on the whole field, the one who started the fire must make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor silver or goods for safekeeping, and they are stolen from the neighbor's house, the thief, if he is caught, must pay back double. But if the thief is not found, the owner of the house must appear before the judge to determine whether he has laid his hands on the other man's property. In all cases of illegal possession of an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or a garment, or any other lost property about which somebody says, "This is mine," both parties are to bring their cases before the judges. The one whom the judges declare guilty must pay back double to his neighbor. If a man gives a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any other animal to his neighbor for safekeeping, and it dies or is injured or is taken away while no one is looking, the issue between them will be settled by the taking of an oath before the Lord that the neighbor did not lay hands on the other person's property. The owner is to accept this, and no restitution is required. But if the animal was stolen from the neighbor, he must make restitution to the owner. If it was torn to pieces by a wild animal, he shall bring in the remains as evidence, and he will not be required to pay for the torn animal. If a man borrows an animal from his neighbor and is injured or dies while the owner is not present, he must make restitution. So after forgiveness in the relationship is being restored then, reinvesting trust in the person that has hurt you depends on their behavior. A responsible behavior change must take place before you can safely trust that person again. If the behavior does not change, you are not obligated to reinvest your trust. Trust is confidential. Trust is conditional. Forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not determine restored trust without change. Forgiveness is a state of being. This is finally the place where you can talk about the problems of the past, but you no longer feel the pain of the past. Not many people come to that stage, and yet that is where God would like us to live. Let's look at John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as some of the people heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There was fish in it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you, Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because he's asking the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, then stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. So Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, and they said to him, follow me. Never again did Jesus discuss this with Peter. Peter was forgiven for his denial of Jesus. Jesus walked in a state of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, God knew relationship problems would happen. That is why he provided forgiveness for us. Forgiveness is God's invention, not man. So we must learn to walk in the state of forgiveness by remembering that we have forgiven of a debt worthy of death. Not very much done against us is worthy of death. The story of a 23-year-old drunk driver who killed a 19-year-old son in Connecticut. Family of the victim asked for probation for 5 years instead of jail time so the defender could speak to youth in schools regularly about the pain of drinking and driving. There are people that walk in forgiveness. Okay, so let's conclude. The excess baggage that we carry because of unforgiveness is driving us into seclusion and away from God. We believe out of sight, out of mind, wrong. Remember, Paul said, because we did not discern the Lord's body for this, because some are sick and some prematurely die. So unforgiveness takes a big toll. So work out your forgiveness now. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you have revealed your righteousness to us in the gospel, your righteousness that comes to us through faith and continues in faith, Lord. Grant that we may understand your righteousness and live by it even in crooked generation, Lord. Then to our joy, the gospel will bear fruit, Lord. Protect us during temptation and conflicting opinions so that we are raised above them and remain free, Lord, with our thoughts on you and your true and loving righteousness, Lord. Your righteousness gives us hope for the many, Lord. Many people will still need help to realize that their lives are not of passing value, but of eternal worth. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now it comes down to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will be given a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long and dusty road, not knowing which way is up or down, or which way to go? Okay, or maybe you're lacking purpose in life, or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety, or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, overeating or gambling. Whatever the issue may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, guess what, folks? He's got to know you. So if he doesn't know you, he can't do anything for you. So the question is, do you want Jesus to help you? Okay, with whatever problems you have? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe it in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to His Word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to righteousness, but rather always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. If you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, right now, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. When you push the 1 key, you will be able to come on live and let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. Amen. Because right now the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get back into some more music, okay?
Thank you.
lived in darkness to die. And as you speak, woo! night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up. Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough.
Of that which I am, says God, Drink deeply of all things that I have given you richly to enjoy. Abandon yourself to the depths of my presence and know joy unspeakable that only originates in me. You are clean. You are free. No more will the motions of sin contaminate your clean, washed soul. This is the beginning again of that life which you have longed for in me, and I give you freely this very moment, says God. Amen. Amen. This prophetic word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All righty. Yes, amen. You must, yes. All righty. Well, this comes to the conclusion of our service, okay, today. I hope that you enjoyed it, okay, and it brought some peace to your life, okay, and that, okay, let you know that we're not going to have a show tomorrow night. It's Monday. Monday is our Sabbath. We take that off. We'll be back Tuesday night for Purpose Gospel Radio. Okay, that will be on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hope to see you all there. So God bless. Have a blessed evening. Okay? Get ready for another week of work. Amen. And pray for your neighbors. Okay? Right now, everything is going tipsy-turvy in this world. Okay, we must pray. Okay? For everyone. Okay, amen. Okay, you're so welcome, my brother. Okay, God bless. Have a good evening.